Welcome and breathe in air. Abstract Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hillman.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you again for listening to AIR, Abstract Illusions Radio. I'm Jennifer Hillman, your host, and tonight we have, I don't know what I can say about Haiku. She has been doing intuitive tarot reading for over 25 years. She is one of the readers that I know I will get the truth about the situation with gentleness and compassion. I have gained much from her reading and her friendship, and it's truly an honor to have her on the show. Haiku has a new website. It's readingsbyhaiku.com. Haiku will be doing readings today, but she just wants you to understand that the readings are for entertainment and are not a substitution for any professional advice. You take the information and take full responsibility with what you do with that information. So without further ado, Haiku, welcome, my dear friend, and thank you for being on air tonight.
Oh, thank you, Jen. I really appreciate you having me on.
You're just so awesome. How could I not?
Jen.
So why don't you let our audience know how you do your readings?
Well, generally how I do my readings is I work primarily empathically and claircognizantly, meaning that I get a feel for where the person I'm reading is coming from and then also the other players that are in their lives. I usually pick up on things like feelings, fears, and motivation. And then the claircognizant kind of comes in where, for whatever reason, I just seem to know certain aspects of the situation, like the environment that a person is working in, the patterns of their lives that are being played out, and like I said before, the emotions and the motivation. So I approach it kind of knowing certain things going in, and then I work interactively with my clients where I kind of guide, using the cards or using what's coming through empathically, claircognizantly, I kind of go through what's concerning them, identifying obstacles, and kind of helping a person get in touch with their inner truth in a way that allows them to remove the obstacles or at least come to some kind of resolution concerning how they're feeling or what's disturbing them at any given time.
So,
if that makes sense.
So the best way people can utilize the information is just understand and get in touch with their inner truth about the situation. It's kind of like waking them up to what's really going on.
yeah, removing the veil because I think we all kind of know on a certain level what's going on in our lives. It's a matter of, you know, perhaps not having clarity because we're too close to it. And so I'm like almost like sort of like you're, say, a journalist or, you know, a reporter saying, okay, this is what I see from the outside looking in. And then the cards help kind of because it provides us with kind of a symbolic language that, you know, isn't emotionally loaded or isn't connected to anything in the external world. And I found that that kind of unlocks kind of doors in our own minds or in our own hearts that allow the energy to come through in a way that we know on a deeper level where we're not maybe over intellectualizing or, you know, presenting it to ourselves in ways that are threatening, if that makes sense.
That makes sense to me.
Well, thank you, Jen.
So basically, it's kind of like which came first, the chicken or the egg. Did you start using the tarot card and got more in touch with your intuitiveness, or vice versa?
No. You know, when I was growing up, I was clearly very empathic and also kind of, now I realized I was reading energy patterns. And as a child and even as a young adult, the world that I lived in, was not quite as supportive of a person's kind of intuitive impressions, and really the kinds of things that an empath or an intuit or whatever you want to call it, the kinds of things that a person is experiencing wasn't supported by the outer world. Nowadays, it's part of our popular culture. It's on TV. People use language like, oh, that person's energy is bugging me, or I'm not feeling good with this. Something is kind of bothering me, and I know it's real, whatever. It wasn't like that growing up. And so really, I had the intuitive empathic stuff going on, and I didn't have a context to put it in. I didn't have words to use to express it or explain it. And then when I was in my early 20s, a woman that I was working with knew how to read cards and kind of showed it to me how to do it just for kicks.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started noticing that the images spoke to me and, like I said before, kind of unlocked doors within, and suddenly it sort of flooded in, and I had a matrix or a framework in which to put what I had been experiencing empathically, intuitively, my whole life, and from there I was able to provide myself with focus and actually a vocabulary. You know, for me, the cards are really about context and framework more than what's actually coming through, if that makes sense.
So in some ways, it's like at least for me, if I use cards, it's basically where to shoot off from.
Exactly.
A focus point to expand that information going from that card in the symbols within the cards.
Exactly.
That really, to strike out at you.
Exactly. And since I've started reading cards, what I found, and I don't know if you have this experience too, is that it's almost like the cards are sort of like triggers for different,
yes.
It allows me to read the person's energy more quickly.
Yes.
And therefore use the right, the correct imagery and symbology that's going to unlock the doors within them, you know, because that's, I mean, the way I view my job is to kind of put myself out of business, where my clients can just do it all for themselves, you know. And if they have that imagery, it helps a whole bunch.
I mean, you're a wonderful reader, but I'm like you. I really don't want people to call me every day saying, okay, what now?
Right.
The dependency factor, now that it is really accepted in society,
mm-hmm.
has really shifted to, if somebody went to a psychic, they thought you were crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Crazier if you were the psychic. Now it's like, it's so mainstream that people just say, oh, well, I'll just call a psychic on that problem and have her tell me what to do.
Yeah, you know, it seems like, especially the past 5 years or so, that the people that are challenged with kind of dependency on psychics has really become an issue that where people's lives have almost become unmanageable.
Right.
Where they're dependent upon psychics for every move they make, or to determine the course that their relationships take, or who to choose, for example, in a romantic relationship. I think kind of to the point where it's almost sort of, I think for some people they consider it to be an addiction.
And I was going to ask, do you think it's become addiction like alcohol and drugs and gambling in a way?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm not an addictionologist. I'm not an expert. But what I've seen from my vantage point, and I've encountered quite a few people who, in my interpretation, were almost kind of addicted. And I actually have former clients who consider themselves to be addicted, and have talked about the same kinds of experiences that a person who's addicted to alcohol or drugs, or like you say, gambling, shopping, food,
right,
where there's like they're in a difficult and a kind of treacherous situation where they feel powerless, and then there's all this anxiety, and people will call multiple psychics in an hour or a day, trying to get a prediction or a time frame about when or if something's going to happen, and they'll hand their power over to the advisor and find themselves in a deep dark hole. And I've had people tell me that when they've tried to walk away from calling psychics or have tried to kick the habit, they've actually experienced physical withdrawal symptoms. So where they're, you know, I think something happens in the brain biochemically where they're just a switch goes off and your whole body's involved in it, which is, you know, really sad for the people that are involved, you know.
But, you know, it's interesting. I've had a lot of clients that they got so wrapped up, I really got so concerned for their own well-being.
Uh-huh.
Because you could tell that it's just, it's hard for them to really separate fantasy from reality because it's just blending so much. And you get to the point that you really do need to help them discern what's really going on with them and trying to separate themselves from the situation altogether that they're calling about.
Yeah, and you know, well, you and I've talked about this before, but it's a you know, it's a real challenge for us as empaths to teach people how to have boundaries and separate themselves from situations. And I do know that there is a website for people that are in the throes of that called psychicjunkies.net, where a woman has actually written a book and created a support group, and actually there are chat rooms now that are being set up to help people that are kind of in the throes of it, that want to take control over their lives and kind of get back on track.
Yeah, it's something you brought up, as we both are very empathic. Now, I've had to learn different ways to protect myself from the energy vampire, the ones that cling and just really take, they drain you. How do you take care of that?
Well, you know, that's been a process that I've had to learn over a long period of time, where you're in a situation, and because you're feeling somebody else's feelings, there are times where you don't know who's who or what's what.
Right.
And it, like you said, you get really drained. And what I've had to learn is that there are certain feelings that I've needed to learn to recognize, where I just started, I just put a stop to it right there, and I say to them myself, okay, which is me, and what's me, and what's the situation?
Right.
So if I'm starting to feel really intense feelings, particularly negative feelings, in my heart, in my solar plexus, in my head, you know, basically, you know, in any of the chakras,
right.
And it's very intense, and I start to feel my head kind of spinning. That's when I take a step back and I say, okay, what's me, what's not me?
Right.
And then I go back and I take an inventory of what I've experienced that day, that week, that month, and say, do any of these feelings match my experience? And, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's no. And that's when I say, basically, just, this isn't me. And I walk away from it. When I'm in direct contact with somebody that, where it's almost like, you know, call it a death ballet, if you will, where, you know, I can feel the getting tugged and sucked in, that's where I actually set limits with the individual.
Right.
And say, you know, A, B, or C, you know, sorry, but I can't engage in this, et cetera, et cetera. But really, once I identify the feelings that go with that dynamic, it's real easy to just put a stop to it. I know some people do creative visualization or cutting a cord, but for me, you know, I guess my attention span is too short. I've never been able to do that kind of stuff. It's just, with me, it's just very direct. I say no and walk away from it.
Well, for me, I actually, when I feel that, you know, I'm feeling something that's not me, I ask for a name. And my guidance usually gives me a name and a location, and I just focus energy to detach it. That or else a sea salt bath. I've drunk sea salt water just to clear my energy.
Interesting. Yeah, that's a really interesting, because that would be really kind of clarifying and
grounding.
Grounding, yeah. And I like the idea of shifting the focus, calling it shifting the focus elsewhere. I'll have to,
right.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Because all you really have to do, that's exactly it, is shift away from whatever it is that's happening, and it completely loses its power.
Right.
Yeah.
It's an interesting effect, and I do see more and more clients that are recognizing, I'm feeling this way, and it isn't me. What is it? Who is it? And what do I do with it?
Right.
So it is. I'm getting more and more callers who want the education on how to handle this energy.
Right.
I think it's really great.
Right. Because, I mean, that's part of it. That's, you know, one of the best ways to heal yourself, I think, is to create healthy boundaries. And if you tend to be a sensitive sort of person who's also compassionate and caring, it's real easy to get sucked into that because you want to fix the situation or make it right, and then you don't know who's who. But that's a really great, you bring up a lot of great points, Jen, as usual.
Oh, look at you. I want to give the phone numbers real quick. If you want to ask Haiku a question, I highly recommend you do. The number, if you're in the U.S., is 877-876-5227. If you're in Canada, it is 888-815-9756. So please, you're welcome to call in and get a reading. We're talking to Haiku, who does intuitive readings. She's been doing it for a while. If you want more information, Haiku does have a beautiful website, readingsbyhaiku.com. There's so many areas I could talk to you about. So I've been talking to you probably, I was trying to think about this right before the show, 5 or 6 years.
Oh, is it that long already?
I think it has been.
Whoa, that's a long time, Jen.
And one thing that you're always very good at, and I'm sure other, in fact, people who have recommended you told me about you, say you always are very calming. You're able to just, and it's with a compassionate sense of humor. But you tell it like you get it, and you don't always sugarcoat it. At least for me, you don't, and
mm-hmm.
I appreciate it. Do you feel that there's some people that call you just to hear what they want to hear and don't really, do you feel like you plant seeds ever to people who are really, no, it's not like that, you're wrong?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you should ask that because, you know, and like we, you know, I'm not going to, you know, get back into what we were talking about before, but I think where the industry is now, you tend to attract a lot more people that just want to hear what they want to hear and aren't interested in utilizing a reading as a positive growth experience. And, you know, we've all been in places where we didn't want to hear what one person would call the truth. And so what I do is I put myself in that space where I'm remembering times where maybe the truth could have hurt and I may not have been ready for it. And so what I generally try to do is give people things to think about. So let's say, for instance, a person is at a job that pays a lot of money, but it's a really dysfunctional workplace, and the person most likely is not going to have any room to advance, and it's kind of a dysfunctional dead end. What I will do is ask questions kind of innocuously that, like you say, will plant seeds. For instance, I will ask the individual, what would you be doing if you weren't doing this?
Right.
Or what kind of a boss would you like to have? What kinds of relationships would you like to have? So, and I just kind of ask that kind of stuff real casually so that it isn't threatening, but also, you know, sometimes we're in a, when any of us are in a space where we're not able to make a change or you know, we're kind of not wanting to hear what some people would consider to be the truth, there's nothing more threatening than having somebody challenge our reality.
Right.
You know, and until any of us are ready to make a change, we just need kind of gentle guidance and support. I mean, nobody likes to be sleeping and be shaken awake. It you know, it's no fun.
It's no fun, but sometimes that's what you need.
I know.
It's not always the best way it is, but, and I will admit with my readings, I would say I'm a lot more blunt than you.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
But I always have the best intention of waking them up from that denial state to make them basically turn around and see what's around the corner or
right.
look over their shoulder. And you do it very gently, but I am finding more of the intuitive readers these days are becoming more and more like life coaches.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's really, don't you think, I mean, honestly, isn't that really the best way for us to be instead of focusing on predictions and time frames, which, you know, inevitably are going to come through, especially with clients that we've been working with for a long time.
Right.
But really, to me personally, I view my role as more of a life coach, an intuitive life coach, kind of like what you do, you know.
Right.
Yeah, because, you know, better to walk with somebody on their path than, you know, drag them by a leash, kind of, you know.
Well, but the thing is, and some of the callers we get, it is more they're the ones holding the leash, not us. And I mean that in sense that they keep repeating calling and asking the same thing, and it's just like we don't always know who's calling when we pick up the phone.
Right. Yeah. And you're right. And you know, that's where I guess. And I've done this before where you kind of put an end to, if I start to see a call kind of going in a direction that I think is not healthy for my client, particularly if it's somebody who's calling straight through on my Ether account and not somebody who's made an actual appointment, is that I usually kind of stop the call and say, you know, this, you're asking the same question over and over. What is it you're really wanting to know? Try to address the anxiety and the confusion. And if that doesn't work, quite honestly, I refer them to the Psychic Junkie site so that the person can at least be in a supportive environment where they're examining what's motivating them to call.
Right.
Because if you keep asking the same question over and over and you're not getting the right answer, clearly, you know, it's not about the
meter.
Huh?
You don't know what the right answer is.
Yeah, thank you, Jen. I was having a senior hearing impaired moment.
The other thing, one reason why I called I switched from being a psychic or an intuitive reader, really,
uh-huh.
is you can ask questions when you're a life coach. If you are a psychic or intuitive reader, people get offended. You're not supposed to ask questions. I'm so too. Do you find that with your clients or the people that call you really understand that you're going to ask questions?
You know, I have never had somebody, well, I shouldn't say never, but very rarely do I have anybody be confrontational like that and tell me that, because I tend to present myself as somebody who works interactively.
Right.
But I have found, particularly in the last 5 years, where really all people are wanting, it's almost like a dog and pony show or a circus act or something, where somebody has an idea of an intuitive reader as somebody that is all-knowing, that's
right.
just supposed to tell you what it is you need to hear and know every detail of the situation and then just kind of, you know, Sermon on the Mount type thing. But I find that to be disempowering for the client, where, you know, going like the Oracle of Delphi or something, you're turning all your power over to somebody you don't even necessarily know that may or may not be accurate.
Right.
Right, and that's why I'm trying to move things in a different kind of direction with my personal website, where it's an interactive kind of give and take. So I do ask questions, and I tell people that I'm going to ask questions.
And I think it really, in many ways, is more helpful when questions are asked.
Well, definitely. And doesn't that help our clients?
Because, oh, yeah.
You know, because they're participating in the process.
And there's aha moments.
Right.
You know, when you say, okay, he's not treating you well, he doesn't call you, why are you holding on to this relationship? What are you still getting from it?
Right. Right. And I find that that particularly when I use the cards, it tells me kind of where a person's coming from and what kind of issues they're dealing with, and that allows me to ask the right questions.
Right.
So, you know, you're still getting a reading. You just kind of our clients don't know it because they don't know where the information is coming from.
Right.
Yeah, if that makes sense.
Now, do you have clients that specifically ask you to use cards?
Yes, there are some people that I think feel more comfortable when you use tools, because I think for some people it's a real concrete, tangible thing, and they kind of trust it more than something that's coming through one of the clairs, you know.
Right. So, do they ask you what cards?
Sometimes clients ask me what cards, and honestly, I know for sure that a person has some experience with them, a deeper level of experience with them, I don't like to tell what cards I'm giving, because then the client is able to project their own idea of what the cards are onto the reading, and then they might as well be reading their own cards, so to speak.
Right.
Also, I was never trained from, I didn't learn how to do readings from a book. I wasn't really trained. It was I'd had a pretty substantial background in symbology and psychology coming into it. And so the symbols, I was already familiar with the symbology, and so I read them like that and not, you know, what you might see in a book. So the way I read the cards is really different kind of anyways.
So how did you learn more about the symbology then?
Well, when I was in college, I was a psychology major, and I focused quite a bit on Jungian psychology. Mm. And then I was a big fan of Joseph Campbell, and so I kind of, and then I was into the whole Greek thing and the Roman thing and all that.
Right.
And so I literally would sit and read from the Dictionary of Symbols. And I took a class from a poet that had us keep a dream journal, and we would interpret those using various systems of symbology. And so I came in with, say, the schema in my head anyways. And so the
right.
deck I used, the Rider-Waite, was with the whole medieval thing, really kind of fit right into what I already knew anyways.
Right.
And so I was able to just project onto that. And then as time went by and I started reading more, I would be able to, the cards, I would be able to pick up patterns of thinking, patterns of feeling, patterns of behaving that would correspond to different single cards or clusters of cards. So it got to where I could do a little spread and know just from the constellation of the cards what was going on in the person's life. And as I progress further, usually what would happen is, or does happen now, is I'll pull a spread and a single card will pop out, and that'll just trigger a whole sequence of images that allows me to read where the person's coming from.
Right. Now, have you ever, you know, you talk to somebody and you feel one thing, but the cards you pull out are totally opposite?
Yeah. Sorry, that was really funny. Yeah, there are times where something's coming through empathically, or even, you know, on those occasions where something's coming through clairvoyantly, where I'm going, okay, here's one reality, but the cards are saying something else. And generally what I found is one of two things. One, that the person I'm reading isn't being completely forthcoming, or that there are layers and layers of kind of challenges or dysfunction covering up their true intent. Or when that happens, sometimes it's because somebody around them is being very deceptive. Or what sometimes is happening is the reality is coming through with the clairs or the empathic stuff, but what's going on in the person's mind and their attitude is what's coming through with the cards. Yeah. There's some level of unknowing there that's coming through. That's an interesting question, Jen. I never even thought of it.
You know, it's, to me, it's just one reason why I personally try and stay away from the tarot cards because there is so many interpretations.
Uh-huh.
And so I, you read them so beautifully that I always, you're a master at it.
Oh, God, Jen, thank you.
And I really just truly appreciate you reading it because I started out doing cards and I did pretty well.
Uh-huh.
I could get the timing pretty well when I was using the cards.
Uh-huh.
But something just inside me said, yeah, really don't need them.
Right.
So I just, you know, every once in a while I'll flip cards for someone because if it's in person, they tend to like to see that visual.
Right.
Like you said, that tangible.
Uh-huh.
But otherwise, I it's amazing to me people who use them because to me it yes, it does give you a focus point, but for me, it could go so many different ways. It's just, it's too much information almost for me.
Right, and you're kind of more what, clairvoyant?
Clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairvoyant.
Right, so it seems like it would be confusing,
yeah.
You know, if you've got, like you said, too much information. But for me, I tend to be, you know, I guess, you know, I tend to be kind of left-brained and right-brained at the same time.
You're very balanced, yes.
Well, thank you. That's, but, you know, I tend to be kind of more analytical in some ways. And so for whatever reason, I've been able to tease out reality from what I'm seeing with the cards. And for me, it helps, especially when I'm reading somebody else. And really, like you say, in person, it helps because then the person can actually see what's there and get their information from the cards, especially like a client that I've had over a long period of time.
Yes.
Where they're actually able to see, they can, it gets to where they can read their own patterns, which is like the best high for me as an advisor, actually.
Yes, and we do have a caller.
Oh, cool.
Hello, caller.
Hello, hi.
Hi, what is your first name?
Veronica.
Veronica?
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Veronica.
Hi.
How are you, sweetie?
Good, thank you.
Good.
How
what's
are
up?
You guys? I just wanted to get a reading if I could.
Sure. What would you like to know?
Basically what's coming up for me. I'm having a lot of changes, so.
Okay, if maybe. You could be more specific because
okay.
I don't want to like give you a bunch of information that means nothing to you, you know?
Okay.
So if you tell me what you want me to talk about, then I'll be happy to do so.
Okay, perfect. How about relationships?
Okay, is there a specific relationship you'd like to know?
If I'm going to meet somebody that's more maybe compatible with me or maybe more of my soulmate.
Okay, so you're wanting to know if there's somebody coming into your life that you're going to have a fulfilling give-and-take relationship with?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just pulling out your cards. Okay, what I'm going to do is take a look really at the patterns in your life and the obstacles that it looks to me like you are facing in terms of finding a person that you can be close with.
Okay.
As I said before, I don't really focus on predictions and time frames because that's kind of disempowering. So, that being said. What it looks like to me is that you are a person with a lot of love in your heart, and it does come through very strongly that you feel that you have a lot of love to give. It looks like there's been a certain amount of frustration in your life recently where you have perhaps felt very, very alone. And also maybe not necessarily wounded, but like your romantic relationships have kind of caused you to feel kind of tired maybe or worn out or like just not very fulfilling. What I see here is that at this point in time, whether you're in a relationship or not, it's almost like a time where you can rest and sort of look within and kind of remember who you are, what you want, and what you want to draw into your life. What I can tell you is that you have the skills, you have the tools, and you have the ability to draw love into your life. It looks like you've got, and I'm hesitating only because I'm reading your card, so I hope you'll bear with me. It does look like there's some soul searching perhaps in order for you, where kind of go through and see what's happening in your life that isn't working, the kind of dynamic within yourself that causes you to perhaps go on longer with somebody that's not quite right.
Yeah.
Then you may want to do kind of clear those patterns out. I think once you do that, you are going to draw a person into your life that makes you happy, that is a good partner, and that is fulfilling on every level.
Okay.
It's it's coming. You just got some soul searching to do.
Yeah, hey. That's exactly what I'm doing.
Okay, good. Well, okay. It looks like you will be successful, sweetie, in it, and I'm not seeing it taking too long.
Okay, thank you.
Bye, hon.
Veronica?
Uh-huh.
Do you have an ideal man list?
I'm sorry?
An ideal man list.
No, but I should do that.
And what you do is you look over your past relationships,
okay,
and anything you did not like, put it in a positive way. Not, don't say, I don't want him to be this. For example, let's say you tend to get very unattentive men.
Mm-hmm.
Basically say, I want a man who's very attentive.
Okay.
That kind of thing. Make sure it's got the positive. And make sure you say, like, I choose to have this kind of balance and equal relationship. I choose to have a man who is emotionally and physically available.
Okay.
That way you're letting the universe know what you want, what you're looking for.
Yeah, because otherwise you're going to end up, like, with the opposite of the guy you don't like that's, like, even worse kind of.
Yeah, because if you focus on everything you don't like about your past relationships, you're just attracting the same.
Perfect. Okay, I'll do that.
All right.
Thank you for your help. Have a good night.
Thank you so much
for
calling and listening. That is a big theme these days, isn't it?
The soulmate?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And yet the other big theme is soul searching.
Yeah.
I'm getting a lot of people saying, stop looking outside yourself for something that's going to fix when you got to look within.
Yeah, because that's where it all is. And,
oh, yeah.
And something that actually kind of a mentor of mine a few years ago recommended that I do, and it worked really well, was when I was in search of the ideal relationship. What this person said to me was she did kind of the same thing with the what you want, what you don't want, only she had me put it in, sort it into piles and then, you know, throw away the things I didn't want.
Right.
And that was really great. And then I started working with a guy that said to me, you know, he was pretty blunt, and he said, you know, if you want to attract the ideal mate, you have to be the ideal mate.
Right.
You know, which I didn't want to hear, but... So I started doing what you did, was what you kind of recommended that Veronica did, which is state everything that I wanted that was positive. But then he turned it back on me and said, okay, who do you need to be in order to attract that kind of individual into your life?
Right.
And it kind of forced me to do the soul searching and improve myself. And I do have to say that it took many years, but I was quite successful.
Yes, you were. I'm still working on it myself, but I know someday.
Oh, Jen, it's coming.
I know. I'm taking the long route, that's all.
Yeah, the circuitous route through the desert. Yeah. Well, some of us, we don't go from point A to point B with a straight line, you know?
No, I went from A to, I think, X, then back to B, and then to F, and...
But it's been a good ride, Jen.
Oh yeah,
you're such a good person, and
I truly have. I every one of my relationships were blessings, not always easy to go through, as you know. But there was blessings with every single one of them,
mm-hmm.
And hopefully the lessons that I've learned and gone, I know sometimes they'll pop up, but it's just a reminder of where I was and where I'm going. And so relationships, that's the one thing I'm definitely learning, is that if you don't have self-love and love for yourself and respect for yourself,
right,
you can't expect anybody else to do it.
No, because you just reflect back, like,
it's the mirror.
Definitely. And hopefully as readers, or as you're licensed as a life coach, hopefully we can help people kind of clear out the gunk and be real clear and the people they want to be and draw really good stuff into their lives in terms of relationships, for sure.
That's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
All the good stuff, because this is an unlimited universe.
Definitely.
And it's your thoughts are your reality. I've found that more and more, and you create it. So,
mm-hmm.
It's up to you what you create. I definitely have created a kind of bizarre experience for myself, and I've absolutely loved every minute of it.
Mm-hmm.
So. The way you do readings, though, has helped me kind of get, when I get a little off track, you're always able to pull me back on, and that's one thing I did and always will appreciate about you.
Well, thank you, Jen, and also thank you for letting me read you in the way that was most beneficial. You've always been really open and really conscientious and really wanting to grow and learn, and even in the more difficult during the more difficult periods, you've always stayed on. You say I keep you on track, but I've helped you stay on track. But I think you've been pretty motivated yourself, you know.
Well, it's this journey. I really this lifetime. I really wanted to grow, and I've known that. It's like many people have told me that. You kind of came on with the dimmer slightly on.
Uh-huh.
So I kind of knew, had a clue of the angels and the spirits and always being connected. So I always knew the light was there. So it's like, if the light's always there, let's go play in the dark.
Yeah.
It's kind of been the way. But sometimes I need somebody to hand me a flashlight. And you and a few other readers have really handed me candles and flashlights and light bulbs. Screw in, so I didn't get too far in. And
uh-huh.
We have another caller.
Cool.
Hello, caller.
Hi, this is Deanna.
Hi, Deanna.
Hi, how you doing?
What's up?
What's your question?
Well, I'm turning 40 in a few months.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Big birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to see what you saw for the year. Because, you know, I'm kind of hoping it's a new year, maybe some changes.
Or you can always depend on the changes.
Yeah, that's an easy one. So you're turning 40, and you want to know what kinds of changes are going to be happening?
Yeah, kind of like a new start.
Okay. Is there any area in particular you'd like me to look at?
Travel, for one. I would really love to travel this year.
Okay, let's take a look at that. Have I ever read for you before, Deanna? Your voice is familiar.
Yes, you have.
I thought so. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
I've never gotten a tarot card reading from you.
No, we've just kind of done an empathic reading, right? It was a long time ago.
Yeah, and I love to what you've been talking about. It's really interesting and how you know tarot so well. So I was just kind of curious.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, travel, yes, that's interesting, because if I had not known you were wanting me to look specifically at travel, that would have been what popped up at me. It looks like you've got some travel by air. It almost sort of looks like you're kind of thinking about it right now, like something you're focused on trying to figure out, almost maybe expending perhaps a little too much energy on it, so maybe kind of not think about it so much and it'll come through.
Okay.
It also looks to me like in the next probably, I'd say, 2 or 3 months, you should be kind of forging a partnership. It looks more like work, but it could potentially be romantic as well. But it looks like there's, like I said, a new partnership that is going to allow you to feel freer and also a little bit lighter and a little bit more like true change and a fresh start is being made.
Okay, great.
And I'm seeing some celebration, seeing some partying. I am seeing some things that kind of have been mysterious and baffling for you that you're going to be figuring out. It also looks like you've been working way too hard and a well-deserved rest is kind of coming.
Great.
And also looks like there's some money coming too.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it looks really good. But look in the next couple months to have like a huge load kind of taken off your shoulders, hon.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Bye, Deanna.
Bye.
Listening. Thank you.
Hello.
Hello. It's always nice when somebody you talked to a while ago calls back.
Yeah, it was crazy because when I heard her name, it was kind of an unusual name, and I was like, that's familiar. And then when I heard her voice, it was like I'd read for her like once a couple years ago.
Excellent.
Once or twice. Yeah.
And she remembers you. It's always cool.
Yeah.
So do you find that happens a lot of people, like, come to you for once a year?
Okay, say that again.
Do you find that there's some people that, like, every 6 months they'll call you, or once a year they'll call you just to get an overview?
Yeah, and actually it's that kind of client that I'd really like to kind of connect with more, is like people that are working on their stuff that just want to call and kind of do kind of like a little check-in.
Right.
To see if things are on track, if there are things that people aren't kind of seeing that they want to be aware of.
Right.
Yeah, I really like reading for people maybe, well, at most once a month, but I would say every 3 months, 3, 6, 9, 12 months. That's the best way, really.
Just to make sure everything's on track and anything to look out for.
Yeah, and for me, I'm sorry, Jim, what would you say?
No, it just sounds really, as you say, it sounded very exciting for her.
Yeah, because and she's got some really cool stuff coming, like where, like, I was getting like a total kind of paradigm shift internally where she was going to forge, like I said, some kind of partnership and then just be like totally liberated.
Excellent.
Which is way cool because it looks like she's working too hard to me.
Well, there's many people that do that this day and then all of a sudden they're exhausted and they go, why am I so tired?
I know. You know, we all think we can do more than we actually can do, I think, sometimes.
Well, we're invincible, don't you know that?
Oh, no, only me, Jen.
Okay, I'll let you. So what else do you want to get across with your website? Because your website hasn't been up that long, has it?
No, we just launched it in October, and I've really only kind of, I was promoting it some, but I really only started promoting it in the last, I'd say, couple weeks. What I'm really trying to do is kind of, you know, the stuff we already talked about, but what I would like to do is work with people that are kind of growth-oriented and really wanting to, you know, kind of lift the veil, so to speak, kind of get better clarity on themselves, the people around them, and the path that they're on, and kind of, again, you know, provide guidance and shed light and kind of give support. And then also, I mean, honestly, kind of work with the symbology of the cards or the symbology of the mind to provide people with focal points, like, for instance, whatever card it is or sets of cards that are coming up in their lives, is to, you know, let's say, for instance, whatever, the Temperance card, you know, self-control, patience, whatever, give people something visual to meditate on while they're kind of walking their path and kind of making their decisions, figuring out their motivations and making their life plans.
Right. I think the Hermit card's been my card quite often.
Oh,
that and the Hangman.
Oh, yeah, the Hangman is a fun card, sacrifice.
Oh, yeah.
Delay, yeah. But I like those cards. You know, somebody once told me that they like the Hermit card because it provides them with an opportunity to go within.
Oh, yes. I didn't say I was complaining about getting the Hermit card.
Okay.
Not at all.
You know, unless somebody's looking for, like, true love and they're getting, like, the Hermit or whatever, you know.
It can get a little frustrated when, you know, you always are getting the Hermit and it's just like, can I be with people for a little bit? So this way I get it every Thursday night.
True
people
that.
Do exist.
Well, yeah, and you have a lot of friends, Jen. You're a really good reader and a really good life coach. So.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I really do enjoy doing it and seeing the growth and feeling the shifts. That's the most interesting thing is to do a reading and then have them call back a few months later or a month later and feel the energy shift within them.
Right. That's always real. I love that.
And it's amazing.
Uh-huh. That's one of the – I'm glad you brought that up because that's one of the most exciting things about being a reader is actually feeling – and one of the times when being an empath feels really good.
Yeah. It's interesting because I actually – recently cut off somebody because they were just getting so dependent and so needy that I finally said, enough, take a break.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as I did that, so many things just absolutely shifted for them that made them do certain things.
Uh-huh.
And now when I talk to this person, the energy is so much better, so much lighter. And it's like, it's almost like, they needed somebody to pop the bubble.
Right, right, right. That makes total sense because I think it almost you start kind of spinning. You know, any of us are obsessing on something and having all kinds of anxiety and wanting to control a situation that's not within our control.
Right.
You know, just taking a step back and going, oh, whoa, you know, who was I that particular moment?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Couple months.
Yeah, yeah. It creates a really great little paradigm shift.
It really does.
Yeah.
And speaking of lack of control, time has just passed by, and we come to the end of the show. I want to thank you, Haiku, very much for being on the show. You are welcome to come by anytime.
Thank you, Jen.
And if you do want to get a personal reading from this wonderful reader, please contact her through her website, readingsbyhaiku.com. It really is a beautiful site.
Thank you, Jen.
It's wonderful. I also want to thank the listeners for listening. And until next week, this is Jennifer Hellman, hoping that with each breath of air, you gain new insights and inspiration. Thank you very much again for listening. Many blessings and good night.